here, but I'm going back now to filaments, which is the stuff that I have been working on the last couple of years or so. And this work has been done together with Yiming Wang from NRL. Let me first, as a short introduction, basically just tell you that the way we set out in our project was that we wanted to make use of the unique capabilities that SDO has. Here it's quickly a little bit summarized. Many of you will probably know it, but just let me here remind you that we have actual 12-second cadence with the AAA data, our coronal images, 45-second HMI magnetograms, that the line-of-sight magnetograms that we can have. So the time resolution is really excellent. Spatial resolution is very good, 0.6 arc seconds, so you can definitely get better in on ground, but we have this now from space, which means we now have, in addition, full disk coverage, so we can see the whole disk all the time, and we have it continuously, so we are not restricted then by, you know, usually you, or from ground, things happen then exactly when you don't look, or they just stop, or you have clouds and so on. The other nice thing is you have very stable pointing, so we really know where we are looking at the disk, and all the filters and all the information is properly co-aligned, and of course, having no seeing, this also helps a lot in the analysis of these events. So the main part of the talk will consist, or the first half of the talk will consist of mostly looking at small scale and high temporal resolution data. And the thing we were mostly interested in is looking at the dynamics of the filaments that we see and studying the underlying magnetic field. And in this case, as I've already indicated here, the main point is that we find flux cancellation in the places where we find the interesting dynamics. The first part of the talk is already published in the paper you see referenced here. Let me give you a quick overview images so that you have some context. So we're looking at an active region here, which was observed around 2010. Here are four overview images. These two are taken from AIA, the 304 and the 171 channel. On the right-hand side, you see an H-alpha image and the magnetogram from HMI. So this is a decayed active region, which was approximately at near central meridian when we observed it on this date. You see in the magnetogram, typically the bipolar, large-scale bipolar structure with the polarity inversion line going through here. And just to remind everyone, so a filament is basically a cool chromospheric material that is located along this polarity inversion line. The filament here, you can see it in H-alpha, is, as I said, located at the polarity inversion line. It has two main parts, a northern arm here, going through the central part here, and then the southern part. The examples of these brightenings and dynamic events that I show you in the next couple of slides are taken from here, from the southern part of this filament, and we're zooming in now into a high resolution of the central part of this active region. So in this overview images, the orientation is, as usual, north is up and east is to the left. And just to confuse you a little bit, I'm now rotating, switching the images upside down, basically so that I can get more of them on one image. And so we're now zoomed in and look at a very small part of this filament channel. So this is now 12 arc seconds. Our filament channel, the southern part, is, as I said, usually was going down to the south. Now it's upward here. And the three rows you can see here is 304, 171, and down here you can see the magnetograms. And I have saturated them at very low level, about 20, plus minus 20 Gauss. So these transient brightenings that you can see, oh, and time is, by the way, from this direction to here. The event that you can see here is very small scale. So you basically start off with a tiny bright point, which slowly gets bigger and bigger. And actually, you can see it is actually in getting larger in two directions. So it's going, not just getting brighter in a radial way, but it's getting larger and larger along the direction of the filament. So you can see it both in 304 and in 171, you can see the same thing. If you look at exactly that location where the first brightening starts, here in the magnetogram, you can see that this is one of the places here in the filament channel where you have rather strong or rather large patches of magnetic field that are very close together. Basically, they're touching each other. And if you look at the time sequence then of these magnetic flux densities here, you can see that they're slowly moving closer together and fade slightly. So you have flux cancellation here underneath these locations where you can see these brightenings. So we have found quite a number of these, very small and isolated ones. And I show you one other example of a different kind. This is slightly bigger and actually also takes longer. So we're now here going over quite a longer time, since 15 minutes, and the whole thing actually goes on a little bit longer. Basically, the elements from the previous one you also have here. You start again off with a very tiny bright point, which starts to get bigger and bigger. Again, it gets elongated along the direction where our magnetic field, the horizontal magnetic field of the filament goes. And in this case, it gets bigger and bigger and starts moving further. Again, in the magnetic field map here, again, the start of the event is at the location where you have the two magnetic polarities touching each other, and you have flux cancellation going on here. I would like to show you this particular event now as a movie, and I've now switched to the normal orientation of the images. So this is the part of this filament channel from, you know, this edge here to the south, and this dark part here, and it starts around here. So this is how the actual event evolves. So you start, this is 171. So, as I said, it starts actually right here at the edge of the filament channel as a rather small thing, but you can see it moves both along this direction as well as into this direction. So you really have now a bidirectional brightening that evolves in here. In addition to that, what you see here is this thing is moving further and further down. And you can see already before the event starts, you already see here some flows. So there is already a pre-existing flow within the central part of the filament channel. And the way we think that the underlying mechanism for these events works is, first you start off with a flux cancellation, probably at very low photospheric or chromospheric heights. So you basically, because you are now in a horizontal geometry, you have a flux cancellation in this direction, unlike, for instance, the jets that we have seen earlier on, where you have usually flux cancellation this way, and then you have your jet going outward. We're now in a horizontal configuration, so our flux cancellation works more or less in this direction, and the two jets go into this direction. And you actually can see here now both jets in going along the axis of the filament. In this case, and as I said, the small isolated events are, you have these reconnection events, and that's it, and the flows, what you see is are the reconnection jets that come out of this the reconnection location, which provide the heating, as well as the mass that is moving along these flows. In this case, we think that this first reconnection event pushes some of the these reconnected field lines into the channel, where they undergo another follow-up reconnection. You have a kind of a cascading event into the filament channel, and it's getting eventually the flow that you produce from the reconnection is getting then entrained into the pre-existing flow that already exists in these filament channels. So these kind of events, so the small ones and the cascading ones, we have described in the paper I've mentioned before, and they seem to be pretty common. And I would like to show you now two other cases, which so as I said, the first events are very short time scales, few minutes to half an hour, and very small. The natural question was then, are there bigger events of this kind? And I'd like to show you now two examples beyond what we have in the first paper. And this is now going to basically the next step of larger scale events. And we have again a transient brightening here, and in this case, it actually has a further effect, not just the reconnection and the flow, but we're also triggering now an oscillation of the filament. So what you see here now is it's actually the same kind of filament 2 days earlier. We're now in the northern part of the element of this filament, and you start off with the jet coming from here, so this is the end of it. You start off with a jet from here, it goes into the channel now, and you see some of these threads start oscillating up and down. So this kind of transient brightenings are now basically the trigger event for the longitudinal oscillations. And we have also studied then the actual oscillation, and this oscillation allows you then to derive some of the physical parameters of the filament. So one, for instance, so this is work that is still in progress, and one of the values that we could get from these oscillations is magnetic field strength, which in this case for the filament threads that were oscillating was about 20 Gauss. Finally, one other example, just quickly. And this is now again looking as such an event on an even larger scale. You see now a whole filament that is erupting here, and it starts off around here, again with a very large bidirectional jet coming out into both directions. And it seems that this is now strong enough or has enough energy to actually, or is maybe involved in the actual triggering of the eruption of this filament. So, let me summarize. So the small scale events that we have studied can be characterized basically by seeing them mostly in AIA in the cooler filters. They last a few minutes up to maybe half an hour, and projected velocities at the plane of sky from the moving features are around 100 to 200 kilometers per second. All these smaller jets all seem to be confined, so they are just moving along the filament channel, that's it. And the underlying process is ferrux cancellation, which we consider to be the source of the brightenings and which will provide mass to the flows, as well maybe probably providing mass to the actual filament. The larger scale events that we can see can have then further consequences like triggering oscillations, or may even be part of event trigger for eruptions. Thank you.
Time for maybe one question, but I have a comment first. That movie, surely we could have seen this on Star Trek.
Yeah.
I mean, look at this thing. It's a who could have imagined in their own mind that the sun would choose to do something like that? I mean, okay. Anybody got a question? Bala.
I found this fascinating to compare your talk where you're watching of all these cascading brightenings that's going along the spine, whereas you watch Kusera's talk, she was just looking at only the barbs and nothing else happened and anywhere else. And that to me is just mind-blowing on what exactly are the mechanisms where one is restricted to the barb, like in her examples that she showed, and you're just looking along the spine.
Yeah, as I said, in our case, we definitely think it's flux cancellation at the filament channel in the photosphere. That's kind of triggering that. And you do see them quite often, but not all the time. And again, for the small scale events, we actually checked all the magnetograms and we find flux cancellation almost always. For these large events, I haven't done the study yet, so I can't say really anything. the thing that Terry looked at, I'm pretty sure that this is a very different trigger. So in that, and she has then oscillations also of a much shorter time scale. I didn't say that these oscillations that we get along the longitudinal oscillations, they have a period of about an hour, while the ones that Terry looked at were the typical 5 minutes. So this is very, very typical, different kind of, you know, time scales and spatial scales we're dealing with.